You're listening to Catch the Current, the latest podcast from Undercurrent News, your trusted source for CEPA news, data, and prices. I'm Amanda Buckle.
And I'm Lauren Castiglione. Some doors are opening while others are closing in this week's company news.
We'll begin with the grim. Harvest Sherwood Food Distributors, a massive food distributor that bought from many of the major seafood suppliers in the U.S., is closing and laying off all of its employees. The Detroit, Michigan-based company, which offered an expansive selection of seafood products to its more than 6,000 retail, wholesale, and food service accounts, confirmed it will be ceasing operations on April 21st, resulting in the layoffs of the company's approximately 1,500 employees. A Harvest Sherwood spokesperson said that the reasons for the closure include rising costs and diminished markets for its products.
According to the company website, its Harvest Food Distributors division, which serves perishable food producers and independent retail and food service customers, deals in products from Pacific Seafoods, Trident Seafoods, Sensi, Aquastar, Atlantic Capes, Harbor Seafood, Chicken of the Sea, and Meridian Seafoods. Full story from Undercurrent's Cliff White can be found in the story notes. So unfortunately, those aren't the only layoffs Undercurrent News reported on this week. U.S. restaurant holding company Bloomin' Brands, the owner of casual dining chains Bonefish Grill, Outback Steakhouse, Carrabba's Italian Grill, and Fleming's, announced in a regulatory filing that it would be laying off about 17% of its staff at the headquarters in Tampa, Florida.
Meanwhile, Japan's Maruha Nichiro, the world's largest seafood company, has consolidated two of its Dutch Harbor, Alaska-based subsidiaries that are engaged in pollock procurement and processing. The merger actually took effect in October 2024 and saw Maruha Nichiro's North American holding firm, Maruha Capital Investment, absorb Westward Seafoods and Alyeska Seafoods. Westward Seafoods remains the surviving entity, while Alyeska Seafoods is set to be dissolved. The Tokyo-based giant said in a statement that the decision to merge was aimed at improving operational efficiency, increasing productivity, and streamlining management tasks to enhance profitability, as both companies had overlapping business operations.
Important to note here is that the consolidation follows a turbulent period for the pollock industry, marked by last year's slump in surimi prices and escalating labor and operational costs. Hey, Amanda, did you know that Maruha Nichiro is on Undercurrent's Seafood Titans 150 report?
No, Lauren, I did not. What number are they ranked?
You're going to have to download the report to find that out. This in-depth ranking covers the 150 largest seafood companies worldwide, offering insights into their revenue, key trends, and the forces shaping the industry. From the biggest aquaculture giants to leading wild catch players, this report is the ultimate resource for anyone looking to understand the seafood sector's heavyweights. Check it out now on undercurrentnews.com and stay ahead of the game.
Thanks, Lauren. That link and the link to the full story from Undercurrent's Masahiko Takeuchi can be found in our show transcript. On to another top 150 company, Canada's Highlander Foods made headlines on Wednesday when it announced it was investing further in Norwegian cod farming and a land-based salmon project in the Nordic country. The company plans to participate in additional financing rounds for the two aquaculture companies, of which it is a shareholder, Norcod and Anfjord Salmon Group. Highlander plans to invest approximately $6.75 million in Norcod and $10 million in Anfjord in the coming weeks. The company said that the investments will support continued growth, innovation, and expansion, as well as preserve Highlander's strategic ownership stake. And that was just one of Highlander's headlines this week. Links to those stories, including the company's latest financial results for Q4 2024, can be found in the show notes.
And in other exciting news, Alaskan Leader Seafood's miso-marinated black cod product is headed to the UK after finding domestic success in the US. Keith Singleton, president of the value-added division at Alaskan Leader Seafood, confirmed to Undercurrent News product debuted in all 29 Costco locations across the UK last Friday, February 21st.
UK listeners, if you have a Costco nearby, then drop whatever you're doing and go buy this.
We will wait. Got it? It is so good. It actually, true story, it cured my laryngitis last year in Boston. I had no voice.
I forgot about that.
I ate the black cod and it came back.
It was like, it was like that buttery, I could still taste some buttery smooth going down. I forgot about that. It was life-changing for you.
It really was. Wow. So the product has had such a great reception since it debuted in the US 2 years ago, that the company is now taking it to the UK, where it will be supporting the launch in Costco through advertising, including hiring social media influencers. From there, Singleton said the company is looking to forge further relationships with traditional UK grocers, including Sainsbury's and Marks and Spencer.
The full launch in all of Costco's UK locations has been slightly different from the product's introduction in the chain's US stores. So Keith previously told Undercurrent that the product was first introduced in US West Coast outlets and then swept east as divisions, make shelf space. So Costco has over 600 warehouses in the US, with the product appearing in approximately 300 of those locations as of June 2024, and most of the remaining locations by September 2024. Also, this is relatively new from Alaskan Leader in US Costco stores. They came out with a miso black cod deli kit. So, by the rotisserie chickens, they have the take a baked goods, like the macaroni and cheese and the taco kits. You know where those are?
Yeah, and those are some of my favorite things to grab when I'm at Costco.
Yes. And they have now a miso black cod deli kit. So it's only in California and Hawaii. So we're going to have to do something to change that. But it looks really good. So it's the usual Costco take and bake tray. It's filled with four pieces of the miso marinated black cods with jasmine, ginger rice, and fresh bok choy. It looks slamming.
I love that. Come on, California, Hawaii. The next one you think of is Jersey Shore. So let's get it here.
Pat Shanahan told us last week that all you have to do to get food into your stores is complain, not complain, to talk to your grocer.
All
So
right, let's do it.
Lauren, let's meet after work. Let's go hit up our Costco together and let's talk to a couple people until we can get that in our stores, because that sounds
That's
awesome.
perfect. I'm on it. But in other news, I'm excited over Wild Alaskan Company's expansion from direct to consumer to retail and food service.
Ah, yes, another favorite of mine. So CEO and founder Aaron Kallenberg dropped this little nugget on his LinkedIn page in a job posting for a director of sales. The job description says that the company, which launched in 2017, is seeking a scrappy, innovative B2B sales leader with a deep-seated desire to roll up their sleeves and single-handedly introduce an exciting new line of wild seafood to retailers across the country.
Per the job listing, Wild Alaskan Company is looking to drive B2B revenue growth sales across retail, food service, and wholesale accounts. The company's new director of sales will be responsible for identifying and pursuing new B2B opportunities across retail, wholesale, and food service sectors, negotiating and closing deals to meet or exceed sales targets. The membership-based service currently offers flash frozen sockeye salmon, coho salmon, cod, halibut, rockfish, and pollock quick cuts, and sockeye salmon burgers. It also offers exclusive rotating specials for its members, including snow crab, snap and eat Dungeness crab, spot prawns, and weather vane scallops, among other items.
Well, that was a lot of company news, but this week the Undercurrent team was also on Snow Crab Watch as the latest science assessment data out of Canada was released. We're phoning a Canadian friend. If we're talking about snow crab, there's only one person we want on our podcast, and that's Undercurrent's very own Barb Dean Simmons. Barb, this week you covered the Canadian Department of Fisheries and Oceans presentation on the health of the world's largest snow crab fishery in Newfoundland and Labrador. What did the latest science assessment show?
It's showing that in one of the larger fishing areas in Newfoundland, which is 3LNO, if you know the alphabet soup of the fishing zones, the stock is pretty good in that area, a mixed bag in some other areas as you go further north. But overall, the stock seems to be holding steady, probably pretty similar to where it was with last year's assessment.
So, this isn't a quota, but what does it mean for Newfoundland and Labrador's quota this year?
Yeah, so the assessment is the first step, of course, and everybody sort of waits for that to see if the stock is maintaining some health or if it's dipped. And people generally make some predictions around that. With 3L and an O, I think most people are expecting that there would be status quo for the quota in that area. And I think last year that put it about 36,000 metric tons from that fishing area.
Okay,
I
so
think,
everyone would be pretty happy if that stays on par with that.
yeah. And of course, the overall stock last year was around about 57,000 metric tons, give or take. I think there's some expectation that there might be some cuts in a couple of other fishing zones in 3PS in particular, and certainly further north on the Newfoundland coast in an area called 3K,
Okay.
which is White Bay, Notre Dame Bay.
Okay, now, it's already the end of February. We're coming up really quick on March. When is the fishery set to start?
Well, that's the million-dollar question these days. The industry, the Fish, Food and Allied Workers, and the Association of Seafood Producers both asked DFO to think about an earlier start. They were saying, let's let this go for March 15th. Normally the season doesn't start until the first week of April, rounded about, April 6th. And of course, we've had some delays in the last two seasons because of disputes over prices. The last time I talked to DFO, which was for the stories I did last week, they said it's probably not possible to start on the 15th. They are contemplating a season start before the end of March, but they didn't give a specific date. And the other million-dollar question in all of this is, before anybody fishes anything, they have to agree on prices. And that's been the thing that's held up this fishery every year for the past 3 or 4 years.
Now, it's interesting this year, right? Because FFAW has a new leader.
FFAW has a new leader, new president, Dwan Street. I know that Dwan and the FFAW and the ASP, they've been holding some meetings through January, because the other complication, I guess, that was part of this leading into this season was the fact that the province, the provincial government of Newfoundland and Labrador, and the new fisheries minister, Jerry Byrne, had hoped that the negotiations could be a little bit different this year. Basically, under the current Fisheries Act, neither side can, like, the harvesters are not permitted to strike, and the processors cannot lock out harvesters. It was, they determine prices based on what they call a final offer selection. It goes to a third-party price-setting board. The FFAW says, we think the dock price should be this much, and the ASP says, we think it could be this much. They each present their analysis of the market, and then the price-setting board chooses one price or the other. And in the last two seasons, of course, those offers have been very far apart, and that's led to a lot of confrontation, the halt to the fishery, and some protesting until we got to the actual start date.
Thanks, Barb. And we were just joking about, with all the drama surrounding the snow crab industry, I think it's time to start a new series on this podcast called The Crabby and the Canadian. Our own spin on The Young and the Restless, because there is so much drama. It's like a soap opera.
Sounds good. I wouldn't disagree with that.
Barb is going to be joining us on the podcast quite a bit as the Canadian snow crab season kicks off. So look forward to that in the coming weeks. Know what else you can look forward to? Coverage live from Boston Seafood Show. Undercurrent's team of reporters will be in Boston for Seafood Expo North America, taking place March 16th through the 18th. There will be live blogging, there will be in-depth interviews, and there will be podcasts.
That's right. Lauren and I will be out and about on the show floor with our mics. You won't want to miss a single episode, so be sure to subscribe to Catch the Current wherever you listen to your favorite podcast. Thanks for listening.
Bye-bye.